Welcome to Spaghetti Lunchers, the world building podcast, where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. How are you today, Kyle?
I am hot. How are you?
No, I mean emotionally.
Emotionally, I'm also hot.
Hot.
It's
you're fired up.
When it's in the hundreds, you can't really forget. Like, it's just kind of, that's it. But no, I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I'm excited to discuss taverns for the second time with you today, Kyle.
This is another sequel episode because taverns is super fun. It's kind of easy to do, which is, I think, also some of the appeal. Is it's just fun.
Great
to
popcorn world building.
It's popcorn world building, and it's popcorn world building, but it's also relevant because taverns always show up in stories.
And yeah, because as we discussed on our last episode, they're where people gather, and yep, those places always have significance.
Yeah. In that, I think we dove into some of the classics of the genre, the Prancing Ponies, the
Green Dragon.
Lord of the Rings does a great job with it. You brought up earlier that Omega in Mass Effect is a great example, because it's just, you know, going to the clubs are basically it's the sci-fi equivalent of a tavern.
It's a gigantic club. They serve the same purpose narratively.
Yeah.
Or it's cyberpunk is the same thing. That's where you go. There's always the damsel in distress. You know, you serve. What is it? What is it from cyberpunk?
The afterlife.
The afterlife. Right.
Which they really build it up, and they do a cool job of building up that this is like the iconic bar,
like the place,
and you are not just able to stroll in a pub. You can usually stroll right in a tavern. You can stroll right in, but this is a club that is exclusive to the best of the best. You know, like, this is for our chooms to come in. You know, you can't just get in there, and that adds this like mystique. So if you want to build a tavern of some kind that has a little bit of an exclusivity thing, that's kind of fun, and not just like a, oh yeah, let me, like, bouncers figuring out. It's like, no, you have to earn the reputation to be in here.
Yeah. That would be a cool mechanic, and not one that I'm going to discuss, but if you are not recognizable on site to the bouncer, you can't get in.
Yeah. And I don't know, I don't remember if we talked about this last time, but one of my favorite things about pubs just generally, and I just got back from some time in London, and obviously lots of pubs were involved in that, because they're amazing and pub culture is fantastic. But one of my favorite things
is beer too.
And they serve my favorite beer, which is bitter. But the naming conventions of pubs is amazing. Do you know the story of naming conventions?
I don't actually.
Like, you know how they're often, it's the Prancing Pony, the Green Dragon, the Fox and the Hen, the King's Head. It's something that is super short and often visually can be represented. So it used to be like the Blue Rabbit.
Yeah.
Because then they could put it on a sign because the populace was illiterate.
Oh, that makes sense.
So you would know what the spot is by simply a drawing an image on a sign.
Sure.
Which I think is really cool. So they kind of stick to that. So it's rare that you find a pub that has like a complicated name doesn't have a sign, you know, because, well, that's not the tradition of how you
name a pub. The Conan O'Brien standing on his left foot drinking a martini while spinning a basketball on his left hand, naturally.
I want to go to there.
Yeah, me too. That sounds great.
Yeah, Conan, can you open that in Dublin? Thanks.
Make it go, bro.
I'm going to call into Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan and propose that he opens a pub in Dublin called this. But yeah.
Flash forward 5 years.
And so I think if you are naming a tavern in any context, know that that is often why they're named that way. It's like in D&D, they're often named in a similar way. It's because of this culture or this tradition that you are trying to like play to who is there. So if you are like a high class bar in a upper class neighborhood, maybe you have a longer name that isn't one that you can put on a sign.
That's super cool. I didn't know that. I love that.
Yeah. But anyway, so, and in the last episode, I guess it's worth quickly recapping what our ideas were.
Yeah, we had two. Four, really.
Yeah. My main idea was I believe it was a tree that was tapped into the land all over the world, and you could get vodka from the potatoes halfway across the world. You could get wine from the vineyards down the street. You can get wherever you tapped into. It was like, you know, the world itself was providing it fresh from that location.
Yeah, it was a great big ass tree.
It's a great big ass tree.
Great big ass tree.
That theme will continue today.
And then I had the capitalist hag, which was a tavern that was run by a secret hag. So every syntax was very important. Word choice was very important.
Yeah.
You had to be very careful what you ordered. You had to be very careful what you wrote on a sign. You had to be very careful who you gave your name to. It was all it was real. It was a lot of vibes and a great game mechanic.
Yeah.
It, for any other story, it would be hard to have it not be the central location.
Yeah.
But if you want to tell a story like The Bear, but set in a magical world, that would be a fun way to do it.
Yeah, the idea also did involve a funny bear joke sub. Listen to Taverns number one as well, but let's get into some teasers on this one, and let's talk about our new tavern ideas.
Kyle, what you got?
Big-ass Ent. What do you got?
Pokemon.
Gonna catch them all?
No, fuck. Let them be free.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, Pokemon have rights, too.
They should. It's just blatant animal cruelty.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go.
We're going to go off on a tangent here. Go ahead, Kyle. Just keep. Tell me about another big ass tree.
Oh, this is a big ass Ent. So they're not trees. They're not trees.
They are
trees. Have you ever listened to Tree Bird? I am no tree. But
I thought you said, have you even listened to Free Bird?
You listen to Free
famously,
Bird?
Yes, actually a lot.
Okay. So. This is very similar to my last idea in a way. I love the idea of an Ent that is a big ass Ent who is growing, like, it, you know, has grapevines on.
Has grape?
Grapevines, yes.
Grapevines.
So he's growing the grapes that he is then able to make into wine on his body.
Are they like zits?
No.
Okay.
They're like, you know, this is a really big Ent.
How big?
How big is it? The size of like a castle.
It's a big.
It's a ass big tree. Fucking Ent.
It's a big ass tree. Oh, it's fucking Ents too.
Oh my, yeah, of course. If it can find its wife, she's lost.
We lost both wives.
Anyway, please see joke from like 2 weeks ago. That was the exact same joke.
Tree.
Okay, so then the tree itself is also the tavern. So it's a traveling tavern.
Nice.
Because you basically climb up, you know, you walk up, you climb up, however the Ent has constructed themselves. And there are just basically like platforms among these tree branches up top where you can sit and hang out. And the Ent will talk to the people on there because the Ent likes the company and likes being this fun purveyor and then can just basically, you know, through his body, channel these grapes and like move them around and then like ferment them and deliver them to you as a fresh glass of wine while you sit on, you know, on a platform essentially up in his tree, you know, and he's made tables out of his, you know, branches and the leaves and all that. Like he's able to make seating for people to hang out and then can kind of shift it around. If you're disruptive, he can just use one of his branches to just whip you off the tree onto the ground. Goodbye. You've been ejected from the bar. So everybody is on their best behavior and being very respectful of the Ent because it's his body and he can easily kill them. And
Whomping Willow style.
Yeah. And then he moves. So it's the perfect adventurer hangout because then he goes and he doesn't move that slowly. Like he moves slowly, but not Ent. You know, he's got a little bit more gusto. So it's, you know, it's kind of like a fairy. So you can
Kyle just moved his hands like two little baby feet. Yeah. Gusto.
He's moving around the world. So then it also is like a quest hub on the move. So then you come back to your, like, you know, whenever you can find him again, you get back on, you get to hang out and enjoy. And he has, you know, a section of the tree that people can sleep and, you know, set up a little sleeping bag. No fire allowed here on the Ent, but
probably,
you know,
just some sort of harvested or gathered fireflies.
Yeah, he has fae who hang out around the tree. So then, yeah, they're able to have little magical lights or whatever, and just, you know, there's magic involved. But
I feel like all the beds would be hammocks though, so that they can swing while he walks and move with him. So you don't. Otherwise, you're just rolling out of bed.
Yeah, yeah. So then it's like a lullaby as well.
Yeah, like a ship, like a
yeah.
Like
it's basically a fairy on the, except what if the fairy was a
gigantic tree that walked around.
Yeah.
And fermented its own body to serve to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the idea.
I love a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think you could also do something fun where I think it could also be really cool for the flavor of the wine and of the grapes that grow on him to change based on where he is in the world,
yeah,
based on the nutrients of the earth that he's standing on, the climate that he's in, that could change.
Yeah.
That is how, I mean,
that's how it works.
That's how it works. Yeah.
I think that's a good idea, but also I think he could also just have multiple varieties of grape growing on him.
Sure.
So then he can just be like, oh, well, do you want red or white wine? I have both. You know, oh, do you want this type of wine? Oh, we have the coastal wines. We have the inland wines. We have the highland wines. We have all the different grapes because he's a big ass ant and he's really leaned in.
He's almost got his own ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he's really leaned because he's leaned into this. He's been around for a long time. So this is a 1,000-year-old tree who's been doing this tavern game for a long time because he really likes it. He thinks it's really satisfying and fun. And all the other ants are just sitting around. He's like, he's the black sheep of the ants. He's the one ant who's like, I want to go meet people. I want to go be an adventurer, you know, in some way. And then realizing this is what I can do is I can just go be a hub for adventure myself, rather than being the one doing the adventure because I'm too big.
Fun fact, Sean's Bar in Athlone, Ireland is recognized as the world's oldest bar with documented history dating back to 900 AD. So this ant tree bar Sean. Thing is now named Sean and has to be older than 1300, has to be more than 1300 years.
Doesn't have to be anything.
He does.
Why?
Because otherwise it's not fantastical. Then Sean. Sean's pub in Athlone, Ireland, wins. Then Sean wins.
Yeah.
Do you want to let Sean beat Sean? I'm not here for that.
Okay, fine. Yeah. He can be over 1300 years old.
He can be 1310. I don't care.
He's 1301.
Perfect.
As a perfect spite.
Yeah. Whatever. However, what is it? Hang on. What the hell year are we in? 25 minus 900. All right. That's 1,125 years old. So he is 1,126.
Okay. I'm glad that we did the math first before we just threw out 1,300. That was really good of you. Good job.
Yeah. I know. I'm fucking great at math.
All right. Yeah.
Economics, motherfucker.
Anyway. So, I think that's kind of the idea. I don't know. Taverns are pretty easy in that there's not usually like a ton of notes on these ones.
No, they're just fun.
Yeah.
It's more fun. It's more, yeah, fuck it. Why not? My idea is really simple for Pokemon. You know, I love a good cat cafe. Fucking, I got engaged at a cat cafe.
I remember.
So this is a equivalent of a cat cafe, except it just has miniature versions of the world's most deadliest creatures. So like there's a tiny Tarrasque running around that you can kind of play with. There's okay. a mini Minotaur. Others.
At all. Yeah.
But that's it. But I think that would just be fun to come in and have different. It's a good way to get, because there are so many creatures. This is really more for a D&D game.
Yeah.
But there are so many really cool creatures in the Monster Manual that you don't always get to see that people might want to.
Yeah.
And it's a cool way to do that. So why not? It can be some...
It's just a mini...
The proprietor be a, like a famous old adventurer who, you know, maybe they're a married couple and one of them hunts the creatures and the other one is a mage that shrinks them down and makes them harmless and it's... And that's it. But it's just a fun way. So yeah, you can... The bar is called Terry's Tiny Tarrasque. I've just decided that's what the name of the bar is, and okay. adventurers can come in, whatever creatures are in your world. I don't care if it's in Star Wars. Cool, they've got a mini
Rancor,
and yeah. Rachel's rideable Rancor. That sounded dirty and like a porno. So
Jesus Christ, yeah,
we're gonna cut that out.
No, we're not. We're leaving that in there. That's gold, man.
Kyle's crate. Dragon.
That doesn't sound as good.
No, it doesn't at all.
Rachel's rideable Rancor. I think nobody knows how they have the tiny ones.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I think you hand wave, why are all these tiny little creatures? Why do you have a tiny dragon? Like, don't ask questions.
Dragon. Danny's diminutive dragon.
Danny DeVito is the bar proprietor. Diminutive
dragon.
No, he's proprietor.
Sort of, no, I'm saying he is sort of also a diminutive dragon in his own right.
I feel like, isn't he voiced a dragon in an animated thing? At some point, he probably has. Probably. He's done a lot of animated things. But yeah, I think it's fun. This is a super D&D idea for sure. And the way that would play out feels like it's perfect for D&D game, that you go to the tavern, you're doing the thing, and then there's just like a mini version of whatever creature rolling around the bar.
Yeah.
And not that you get to fight it, but you get to at least be like, because then imagine, you know how every D&D campaign, people fall in love with a random creature, random animal, and they're like, this is the group pet now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my jam, but it's everyone else's jam.
No, your campaign only had two of them at the same time. Yeah,
but not through my own. Well, that's a different campaign that was, you know, anyway. but
flummoxed.
I'm not the one who, like, as a player, I'm not into
it. No,
as,
no,
like, but true. I understand that the power that it has as a DM to be like, here's your pet. Yeah, here's your pet. Go at it. And people fucking love that
precious
shit.
Pets.
They eat that shit.
They right love out of it.
The palm of your hand like a baby Tarrasque.
Yep.
And in this case, it's a perfect way to do that is that you have a baby Tarrasque or whatever, like, follow them out of the tavern, and then they've like accidentally stolen this baby Tarrasque.
Yeah, their bag starts moving, and you hear some creeling come out of it, and you pick it up. Well, there's a tiny Tarrasque.
Yeah, or a tiny little dragon.
And what's really funny is that, especially if no one knows how they got tiny, there is the question of, will the spell wear off?
Will it get big?
Are they just a baby, and do I then have to raise a Tarrasque?
Yeah. Will this kill me?
Those are important questions to ask if one finds a tiny Tarrasque in their pack.
Correct. So I think that alone makes the idea worth deploying, because it's such a great way to just sneak in. Not even a Tarrasque, just
anything.
A miniature. What's the thing with the eyes? Gosh.
Oh. The baby beholder.
Beholder. A baby beholder. Minotaur, as you said, others. there's an infinite number of opportunities to just sneak in a miniature version of a thing, and yeah. Like, not just a miniature dragon, because it's boring, but yeah, a miniature giant spider.
such as a spider. I'm really into this alliteration thing here.
Yeah,
it's very good, fun. It's good wordplay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that those are ideas super simply. This is one of the shortest episodes we're ever going to do.
And it's great. And I'm here for it. Yeah. And
all right, so let's move on to our frozen lasagna.
Yeah, I'm doing another lightning round thing. I'm not.
I actually didn't have another idea, so let's just do lightning rounds.
Perfect. All right. Awesome.
Go. I see you have a list, so.
I got lists on lists, motherfucker. Right. A tavern that instead of having alcohol on tap, it has stew. It's called the Stewery.
Stews.
A tavern run by a chronomancer where you can get a drink with your past or future self.
That's cool.
A tavern in a dimensional transport hub where you can get drinks from any realm. That's not really that.
That feels like original. That's my idea. It's a transport hub. You stole from.
No, I designed it for you. It was a gift. You're welcome.
I don't acknowledge that.
I said this before, but I want to bring it back again. A tavern in the body of a giant being where you can drink any of the fluids produced by its body, and they also maybe cook and eat it slowly. a magical tavern on a train that has taps and plates that magically fill with whatever food or drink is popular in the region it happens to be traveling through. A tavern owned and staffed by pigeons. Logistics are complicated.
Second time that you've really just thrown in like a, here's a bird-based one.
A normal tavern, but the inn looks like whatever your childhood bedroom did, or if you did not, or your character did not have a happy childhood, wherever you felt most safe, so that everyone gets a very good night rest, everyone gets a very good sleep, and maybe you can award some additional benefits to it after a long rest. Mm-hmm. A tavern with normal beer names from the real world, but they taste exactly like what they are, so Goosehead beer tastes like blended goose brains. an underwater tavern for surface dwellers, but all the drinks are salty. They're trying to make drinks underwater, but, you know, bless their hearts. And then in the Clerbriol fam, you go into the bar and genetically become family.
Adding additional one that is a more serious one, that a TARDIS-like tavern where when you it looks like a really small, shitty little stall, and you go in, and it's actually an incredible, elaborate bazaar.
It's great.
Within there, so...
I love that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Also, maybe when you have to be real careful, because like the TARDIS, it travels around. So when you open the door, you might not be where you thought you'd be.
That could also be a factor. All right. So that's a lot of ideas quickly thrown out. Birds once again invoked. So
birds are great, man.
Birds are great.
Well, I mean, it's a cool idea. They're not real. So they're a good idea.
You watch your fucking mouth.
Fuck you.
There's a bird book in front of you on this table.
I know you like fiction. That's okay. That's why we have this podcast.
All right. So moving on to what stuck for you.
All of it. It's just fun. Yeah. I'm going to remember all. I'm not trying to be glib about it. Yeah. If I had to pick an idea, I like the idea of the giant ent having the grapes and the products that it grow change based on the environment it's in. I think that's fun. I think it's immersive in the world, and it adds a little fun variety just for the sake of fun variety and detail, if that's the mood that you're into.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I think the addition of having the Terry's Tiny Tarrasque become the pet, and that you find and you got it in the pub because, oh, it just crawled into your bag because it's a tiny Tarrasque and that they're mischievous little creatures. I think that's a great idea too. Beyond that, the whole thing, it's just fun. These are fun ideas to come up with. And actually, if I may, in all likelihood, what really stuck for me is the fun facts that you and I discovered about the real world, is the naming of the convention, the history of the naming convention for taverns, and also Sean.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think it's, I really like my idea because I really like, and you hit on with the TARDIS thing too, just that the tavern is moving.
Yeah.
And I think in these worlds where adventure and movement across the world is kind of a given, because it's rare. I mean, often stories do take place in one place, but these adventure stories that the world building that we do is often playing into involve movement. And having a tavern that moves like this and which is alive, which creates that ever available option to the storyteller, to the DM, whoever it is, to insert a friendly face and a familiar environment. So it's like a really great shortcut as a DM.
It's a great deus ex machina too.
Deus ex machina, but also just we're in a new city. I don't want to have to actually improv a new tavern. Guess what tavern just rolled into town? Guess who? What characters you're going to meet tonight? The same characters you've already met. Sean's here. You're talking to him again. Some familiar faces from the past, and a great way to connect you to other things elsewhere in the world and say, here's a little beat about what's happening in the kingdom that you already left. Here's the seed for the next quest I want you to go do. It's the perfect tool as a DM to keep a cohesive world and keep yourself from having to exert a ton of effort to make things work. You just naturally make it flow by having this moving bastion of stability for the players.
Moving bastion of stability is a great band name as well.
True. So,
well, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thank you for listening.
Good.
Beer. Bye. Beer?
Tavern. Goodbye.